So remember we mentioned that the fifth commandment forbid any private person to directly kill another person. Now sometimes it can happen that somebody may be indirectly kill another person, but it's no sin at all. If somebody attack and then you try to stop that person, but in the process of stopping that person, the person got killed, you know, if it is a reasonable force, then it's no sin. So somebody have a machine gun coming in, I got a gun, I shoot at that person to stop him killing us. So I didn't want to kill him, I want to stop him, but if in the process of stopping he got killed, then it's a side effect that, you know, of course we don't want that to happen, but you know that's something that that will be indirect killing, but not a direct killing. So that's called self-defense. Now also, of course, we know that for Moses, who received the Ten Commandments, he was not only the civil leader, but also the religious leader of the chosen people. And so, as the civil leader, Moses also executed capital punishments, the death penalty. And also, he had to also, the Jewish people have to fight against their enemy. So when in a war, you know, there will be killing. So it's important to remember that the fifth commandment forbid any private person directly kill another person. So if somebody is executing capital punishment, the person is not acting as a private person anymore. And then if somebody is in an army, fighting for a war, the person is not acting as a private person, but as a public person. So if those situation is legitimate, then the killing is also become, you know, it's not going to be a sin. So that's in the Old Testament already, you know, up to this time, it's always the how the people in the Old Testament time, but also how the church teach see it. So even in Catholic country, there have been capital punishment. But nowadays, the church do advocate that if that possible, do our best not to use capital punishment, because of the system that we have. It seems to be that we can have other way to help people to become better or not to harm society. Doesn't need to kill them. And so the popes in recent time do advocate to use other means but not to kill the criminal. And of course the church always advocate that, you know, to use war only as the last resort. You know, don't try to have diplomatic negotiation, whatever that might be. But don't start with the war. So it's only use it as a last solution. So yeah.
What about people that kill animals for sport?
Killing animals for sport, I don't think that has been considered a sin. I think Saint Francis de Sales didn't quite like it. I think Saint Francis de Sales didn't quite like it. And I think the principle is that if you have to kill animal, you don't cause them unnecessary suffering. So if some people, they have the cruelty to torture animal, to cause them extra pain purposely, then I think that can become sinful and can be even be serious sin because of the cruelty. But I don't remember ever seeing that, you know, going for hunting would be a sin. But it's something that I think St. Francis de Sales himself doesn't quite like it. As I remember well about a book about St. Francis de Sales, that he didn't like hunting. Yeah.
Car accidents sometimes. Somebody who dies in a car accident, hopefully unintentional.
Yeah. So if a car accident happened, if you are not purposely doing something wrong, it's just an accident, then I don't see any sin involved. Unless it involves some gross negligence or you purposely do something bad.
Mm-hmm. Like
Yeah. Of course, you know, that would be I would not yeah, maybe it's not the right thing to do, but I doubt if just testing itself would become a big sin. You know. But I think if you are car racing, you know, doing things like that, I think will be more intentional.
If you come across somebody that was sort of shot or something happened to them, and you know they're going to die and they're choking on their blood, do you let them suffer?
I think you do your best to lessen their suffering, right? But of course we are not in the position to finish somebody's life because somebody is in pain, because we don't have the right over the life of other people, and even the person himself doesn't have the right over his own life. God is the one who give and take life, but we should be doing our best if it is within our capacity to do something to lessen the suffering of that person. Sometimes it can be physical, but also a lot of time it also can be spiritual and emotional. That, you know, the support somebody there to support someone, it also can be a great comfort at that time of pain.
So in wartime, if you know they're going to be captured and tortured, you just let them.
You do your best to let them not to happen, right? And of course, you know, but I don't think it will be right for you to kill somebody so that they won't be tortured. Because we don't have the right to take somebody's life. So you cannot do, because, you know, remember at the beginning we talked about that we should not do any, that to our moral action to be upright, the intention to be good, but also what we do itself shouldn't be something objectively sinful, and also the circumstance. Now, no doubt it's a really chaotic circumstance. Intention might be good, but we should not do anything that is objectively sinful and wrong for to achieve a good end. Because the end doesn't never can justify the means. So if the action itself is wrong, it's wrong. We just cannot do it. We have to trust that, you know, God will look after the situation too, you know, to have trust in God and also to do our best, whatever we can do to help in the situation. But you know, but if God do allow an evil to happen, there's a reason behind it, and God can bring good out of evil. But, you know, we cannot see pain as an absolute evil. But eternal damnation will be the absolute evil that we have to avoid. So sometimes we do our best to help people to be free from physical evil. We have to do our best. But you know, when we pray to our Father, deliver us from evil, a wonderful catechism, the other book I gave you, you know, that's a good reference book, by the way, the Q&A catechism book is a really good reference book, and it's also keeping more up to date. We include some moral issue that is not dealt with in this book, which is a bit older, but it's dealt with in the newer book, you know, like especially in the Fifth Commandment, beginning end of life issues and things like that. That's what that book is, but more detailed than this one here. Father John Harden do taught, you know, when we pray deliver us from evil, that when we pray about physical evil, we pray that conditionally, if it is the will of God, like sickness, pain, and suffering. But if we think about moral evil, sin, we pray that absolutely, that ask God to deliver us from all moral evil, from sinfulness. And so it's really important for us to see that as, you know, with faith, we can see that moral evil is a much greater evil than physical evil. So even though there can be a really big physical evil, that we should not create a moral evil so that we can get rid of the physical evil. So it takes some faith, you know, a bit of a strong faith to see that. So we also think about in the fifth commandment that we should not put ourselves or another person into unnecessary great danger. We should not do that. So we should not put people into unnecessary big danger. To do that without necessity and doing that willingly, knowingly, is a big sin. We shouldn't do that. So you shouldn't purposely do something crazy on the road, you know, to cause danger for oneself and for other people there. But the similar thing applied to the soul, to the spiritual life. We should not expose ourselves and another person to unnecessary great danger for the soul, the occasion to commit big sin. So we have to avoid that. If we purposely put ourselves or another person into great danger to commit big sin, that itself is a big sin. So if you invite your friend to watch a dirty movie, that you put yourself and your friend into great danger to commit a big sin. If you know there's an immoral website or immoral book, and you give it to your friend or recommend to your friend, you put him or her into an unnecessary great danger for the soul. And also similar thing, if a couple, they are not married, but they decided they want to live together, you know, that's an unnecessary great danger of committing impure sin. So we should not put ourselves or another person into unnecessary great danger of committing serious sin. So you see that the fifth commandment not only for the body, that we have to look after our body and not put that into great danger, but also the soul. We should not put our soul, another person's soul, into great danger. And we also have to avoid scandal. The word scandal basically is that we cause another person to sin, either because of our word or because our action or example. So that's called scandal. So the fifth commandment forbid us of causing scandal to other people. That we should not give bad example. And of course, if you are in the position of authority, then of course you also have to avoid scandal, giving scandal to people who are under your authority. So let's say if you are a parent, you don't go to church on Sunday, that actually is a scandal for your children because they see that the example and they don't care much going to church because the parent doesn't care. So you are causing the children to sin by not going to church. And so it's also, it can happen, there's some other thing as well. You know, you have some really bad habit, and the children just follow your example, either to do something bad or to omit doing something that ought to be done. That is important. So the parent's example is important because, of course, they influence other people. Does that make sense? Any questions?